Father, we just ask that you would just settle our hearts before you, that you would open up the eyes of our hearts even, Lord, that we might be able to see the beauty of who you are. Lord, we need to hear from you, because you have the words of eternal life. So we just ask that you would speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're in 2 Thessalonians 3. I have a question you can answer at the end of the day. I can be finished today, or we can talk about one more topic in this chapter next week. So, and I actually feel like talking about it. So we might do it. So the next 2 weeks we'll be in Thessalonians again, and then Tyler's going to start sharing Joshua, and I'll have to mix it up because he works 2-1-1 off. So I'm going to start with the problem that most people read their Bibles with, and we're going to start there and try to just. Everybody's looking at me weird for that one. We're going to pick up on a verse that if you start there, you're going to miss the whole heart of the Lord is what I mean. Verse 6 of chapter 3 of Thessalonians. We command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw with every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the traditions he received from us. In many ways, I believe that the church, a lot of times, walks in that aspect way too often. Willing to cut off believers that aren't walking in the same light that they're walking in. Last week I gave you all homework. Anybody remember what it was? No?
I thought it was
to
read the next part of Thessalonians.
I forget what I asked you to do. Now, I did ask you to read that. But to consider ourselves in the light of everything because of what we talked about last week, and we're going to go back and read the other verses. So let's go back and just read the whole chapter. I did that on purpose because I feel like this is something important in the body that we need to remember, and I think it's lost in many ways. And that's just cutting people off just because we don't agree. Our feelings got hurt or something, and instead of pressing on to know the Lord and that the Lord would be glorified in the situation, we use verses in a way that justifies our actions. And so let's just read the whole chapter. Here, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do all things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patience of Christ. But we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the traditions which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some among you who walk in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey the word of this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed, yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutations of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Do you notice the difference in just reading that verse by itself and the verses prior? Last week, mainly, we talked about verse 5, which is, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and the patience of Christ. And we took our time to look at that, but I wanted to say that because we talked a little bit how Jesus is our mediator, right? And he goes before us and he prays and then he comes before us and always wants to meet us in a situation before we encounter it. And we talked this morning about he tells us beforehand so that when it happens we know it's him, Daniel. And so the Lord tries to instruct us and meet us and catch us before we deal with other issues. And so before we go on in dealing with unruly believers, we have to first enter into, allow the Lord to direct our hearts into the love of God and the patience of Christ. Does anybody remember what patience is? Or anybody know?
Long-suffering.
Forbearance.
Anyone else? There's more.
Endure.
Anyone else? There's a way you do it. Remember? With kindness. It's patiently, it's an enduring under a pressure, dealing with people, and in the end still being kind. So before we enter into admonishing and directing other people, we need to first be directed ourselves into the love of God and the patience of Christ. So, what does it mean to you guys when it says in verse 6, but we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the traditions which he received from us.
It's a warning to not do the things that that brother may be doing.
Okay. Anyone else? You guys haven't had any practice with this?
No.
You're going to have to enter into it today. Moment by moment, day by day. Granted, there are things that are sin and there are things that are disorderly. There are things that need pointed out. And then there's love covers a multitude of sins. So how do we walk ministering and directing? I do believe, as in Hebrews it says, bad company corrupts good habits. So allowing ourselves to go in a way where we know someone's walking disorderly and just hanging out with them, it's going to cause you to stumble, or someone around you to stumble. So if you know they're not walking in a way that you feel the Lord's leading you, then don't follow. Encourage them. Push them to Jesus. Encourage them to follow you. Anybody know the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer?
Thermostat controls the temperature, and a thermometer tells you what the temperature is.
Correct. Did everybody hear that? Thermostat, I said, well, or these, however you do it, set the temperature, and eventually it gets there. A thermometer, you put in the mouth or under the arm or wherever, just to tell you what the temperature is. And in our lives, God's called us to be thermostats, not thermometers. That we're to walk in the light that we've been, that He is in the light, that we might have fellowship with Him and one another. But occasionally, or more often than not, it seems, It doesn't happen. I think it's interesting that when people got saved that they stopped working. Because, you know, when you first got saved, you're just hoping for Jesus to come back to take you at any moment. And when I first got saved, there was a couple of people that were doing that, and they didn't work and didn't do anything, and they just trusted the Lord, and they disappeared. I'm not saying that that's not right. Trust me. As the Lord leads you, walk in it, and He can do the things He wants to do. But we are based, He gives us His Word as a guidance, and one of those things is working. Now, when it comes to following and walking with the Lord, how do we work?
Unto Him.
Our work is believe that He is the one. Ours is faith. Believer's work is faith. And so many times people can look at other people's faith, and as they're walking, as seeing lazy or not doing, you know, what you should be doing. And so we have to be careful of those things. And most of you know that I don't mind speaking my mind. And if someone's not acting appropriately, usually I don't have a problem telling them. And the Lord's changing how I talk to them. Or if I speak. Because prayer for someone can do a lot more than our words a lot of times. And living the life that God's put before us will be a lot more of a guide than our words. So, I don't know, it was just really on my heart. I feel like a lot of times we are very willing to step aside and not deal with people just because they don't believe the same way we do. You know, could be the rapture. It could be all kinds of different doctrines. And to those fellowships or believers, that's walking in a disorderly manner. Because that's not according to their traditions. And I want to warn you to be careful that doctrines that man hold on to might not be the Lord's word. And so we need to be careful what we're considering the traditions, and that we hold His word up in high regard, but not my opinions. So I just want to be careful. I just see it too often. I wouldn't be able to teach in most churches because of my beliefs. And I'm fine with that. So until the Lord changes my heart and mind, I can't speak stuff that I don't feel is true. Or try as best as I understand. So it's just for me a real warning, and it's not a warning about treating people badly more than it is a warning or encouragement to get into His presence and to walk with Him. Because Paul himself deals with the unruly in verse 12. He says, "Those who are such, we command you and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread." So how do we exhort them? We can use Paul's words. Hey, go to work. Be quiet. Say it nicely. And eat your own food. I can tell you this, no matter what, if you're walking with somebody and dealing with this, if you tell them that, it's not going to be received very well. At the moment. So, a lot of times, those corrections, no matter how caring and trying it is to be right and help a brother or sister, it's not received.
Can I share a fast story?
Huh?
Can I share a fast story?
Sure.
So I shared this at the women's last week in Galatians, we looked at Galatians chapter 6, and it was just talking about like correcting somebody with meekness and love. And I was listening to Pastor Chuck Smith on Galatians chapter 6, and the gist of the story that he shared was a man left his wife and two daughters because he had an affair with a woman. And a brother in the Lord went and he was like, "What are you doing, man? You shouldn't be doing this. You know, you need to get back with your wife." And so he just kind of went with a harsher spirit. And then Chuck went over to this guy's house, and it just broke his heart that this man was doing this because he knew the wife and he knew his daughter. And he, like, went to speak, and he just started crying, and he just could not stop weeping, and just, but however long he was there, he couldn't even utter a word. And then finally he said, "I'm sorry, I just have to leave, like, I can't even open my mouth." And the next day, I guess Chuck got a call from the wife and said, "My husband came home last night." And so just the, you know, like, that led, being led by the Holy Spirit, and having that meekness, and having that humility that the Lord wants, that can only come from the Holy Spirit. And so I just thought that was a really beautiful illustration of that abiding in the Holy Spirit, letting him do that work as we correct a brother. You know, he went there to address
right.
the situation,
yeah.
but the only thing, he came out with tears. So,
oh,
yeah. Yeah. But I just kind of see that in this as far as, you know, how we,
mm-hmm.
you know, are to be that, like, teeth are cutting ears off and trying to set people straight, but really
right.
allowing the Holy Spirit to minister through us.
Has it happened very often with you, if when you were corrected, that you receive it right away?
Depends on who you are.
It's possible sometimes.
It is possible.
I'm not very good at it, so yeah. Anybody else? Any thoughts on that? On dealing with unruly or being the unruly or. We probably have a little bit of all this in all of us, so we need to consider ourselves. Remember the three-finger rule? There's three coming back at you. Like, in every one of us, I can guarantee you there's unruliness, because we're not in His presence yet. And so we have to walk with compassion and trust the Lord. And winning the brother is more important than being right. I can say the same words two different ways. One way is completely wrong, and one way is completely okay. It's in your heart, your attitude, if it's to win, not to be right, not to win an argument. It's about eternity and people's salvation.
God, I think part of that is because God's heart is redemption.
Right.
But our heart is conformity. So, you know, show us who you love me and you should go this way.
Right.
I was thinking that today, that when you see, like, we see what can be. And, I mean, the Lord really sees what can be, and that's redemptive. What we see is what is now, and we're like, I was thinking of the tadpole as that becomes the frog. I mean, it's not in stages of immaturity, even, but in stages of journey. It's always going to be a frog. It's always going to hop on, it's always going to get out there on the own land. However, we look at the tadpole as, if we're like with Christians, you look at them and we think, they should be a lot further along. They're taking too long in that pool. They should be hopping around the land. And I just think that it's like the physical reality. And just trusting God that he has confidence that he is doing the work.
Right.
Because our confidence is in him.
And it's what we talked about a couple weeks ago. And that's verse 4.
Yeah,
and we have confidence in the Lord concerning you.
Concerning you.
Yep.
So we need to leave them in that time for as long as they need to be. And stop trying to put them on land and make them hop. You know what I mean? Because we're hopping. You know?
Well, and then, instead of rejoicing in the simple fact that they're
because we're killing
a child.
Right?
Right? Instead of rejoicing that they're just simply a child of God.
Yeah. Amen.
And grateful and praying and encouraging and strengthening. Yeah. But yeah, I was going to go to Galatians because of verse 13 says, "But as for you, brethren, don't grow weary while doing good." So, again, thermostat, thermometer, what the person's doing around you should not affect you. Jesus even said, "My peace I give to you, and no one can take it from you." Right? The only way you can lose the peace you have in your life is if you let it go. No one can take it from you. It's something you just allow to go by looking off to other things. So Galatians 6, since Ann was there this week, we're going to look at that a little bit. Well, we're going to verse 9. Actually, I want to go start at the beginning, verse 1. Because it's important, and that is, brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of considering yourselves, lest you be tempted. You see, the way if I feel like I'm just trying to make it right for you, then first off, I'm already tempted to walk in pride. So I'm already fallen and walking unruly myself and doing these things. If I'm not in the right heart attitude of gentleness and the spirit of gentleness to where it is to build up and to encourage and strengthen, that doesn't do any good. Except it actually is a hindrance because it puts you in a position to fall. And then he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Everybody like that statement about yourself there?
Nothing.
When he is nothing. The Lord puts things so plainly sometimes, doesn't he? So whenever you think you're anything, just remember you're nothing. Because nothing really has nothing over anybody who's struggling. Right? So we have the ability to realize before we enter in, it has to be in gentleness. It has to be in His love. It has to be with patience. It has to be in a way that it's not just to be right. I just think that's hilarious. Remember you're nothing. But when you remember you're nothing, then you know that you receive all things. And then you're filled with Christ. And you're not you. So, instead of trying to become something, become nothing. See, that's the opposite type motivation you hear throughout the world, isn't it? And then, you got to strive to be someone. You got to strive for this. You got to strive for that. In Christianity, it's strive to be nothing, which is just as hard for all of us.
So it already says that He is nothing, so we don't have to try to be nothing.
Yeah, remember, you're nothing. Yeah, we forget the vapor. We forget all these things. You are nothing. Isn't that refreshing? Because if I'm nothing, then I can't do anything wrong. No, just kidding. But you can't amount to anything, and that's why He has to be our all in all. But let each one examine and... Oh, did I miss one?
Yeah.
For if anyone... Yeah. But verse 4, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Verse 5 is a good one because of... Well, we'll look at it later. But bearing his own load, we all have our own problems. Right? In certain situations. So we all have to bear our own load. The things you worry about might not be things I worry about, so that's your load. You know, what's that? Yeah, right. But it could be just finances. It could be family. All kinds of stuff. We all have different circumstances that we have to bear. Right. To share one another. To build up, to strengthen. But yet, in the long run, everyone has to carry their own load. We can come alongside, we can help, we can encourage, we can build up, we can strengthen, do whatever we can do, but ultimately, you're still stuck with yourself. Your nothingness. That's our new joke for the day. We talk, you look great being nothing. Anyway, so verse 9 it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season shall reap if we do not lose heart." There's a reason why it says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good," and that is because of patience. Meaning that there is a weariness sometimes and a struggling when you're dealing with other people. I know I shouldn't have to explain that to everybody, but sometimes it's easier. She has an easier time dealing with me, and sometimes not. There's patience that has to be in all of it. And then it says, verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us all do good to all. This went past the struggling person, went past the believer, went past everyone. Let us do good to all. And I think that's important as well. Then he says, especially those of the household of faith. And so I just wanted to share and bring that to a point because I know that there is that weariness. There is a time when you get pressed trying to work with people. And the Lord just says, do it with a smile. Do it with the way that you can bring joy.
Because God, in your nothingness, did you skip verse 6 intentionally? Because it says, let him who is taught the word to share in all good things with him who teaches. So when we're blessed by your teaching and the things that the Lord reveals, and we share it back with you, that encourages your heart.
Yep. At least we're paying attention. We're either in the nothingness lane or we're getting it. We're all either getting it or we're all in trouble. No. So, I didn't really. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever man sows, he shall reap. I mean, that's true. If you... Well, his word's true. And if you live in an unruly manner, it's going to catch up. For he who sows to the flesh will the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. What's that? Yep. And we're going to look at that here in a second. Yep. Back in Thessalonians. Verse 13, or 14. If anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, then he may be ashamed. Here's the tough one. Do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord himself... Well, I want to look at this because Paul touches on this at the end of Thessalonians 1. Chapter 1 Thessalonians, the end. Verse 14 of chapter 5. Of 1 Thessalonians, he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for you, both for yourselves and for all. Here's how we enter into ministering to one another if it's a benefit for all. Not just for the person to make them right, not just for that person. It's a benefit for all. You see the benefit of the Lord doing this work, and it's His work in that person's life. If you're nothing, they're nothing. And it's only the Lord doing that work in them that makes them anything and can bring them to a place so that they can come along and build others up and strengthen others. But the Lord wants us to be there to comfort, to uphold, and be patient. To not render evil with evil, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. The only thing I have to say about that verse is none of us know what is good for ourselves or all. Right, many ways. I don't know what the right answer for this person is. I don't know what the right answer is for me a lot of times. So it brings me back to a place where I have to seek the Lord. What is the right way? What is the best thing for the situation? What do I need to do? I need to come before Him and seek His face. How do I comfort this person? How do I build them up? How do I come alongside and be patient? And then at the end of Thessalonians, he says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing and everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You see, all the words of encouragement the Lord gives us by Paul through here now is how to be a thermometer, or not a thermometer, thermostat, see, get it wrong. How to set the temperature, how to set and be steady and live in a way that... when they see your good deeds, they can glorify your Father in heaven. And so, any thoughts with that? New thinking? No. I think it's important. I think we as the body need to grow in our patience in the Lord so that we can show the love of Christ and not grow weary. And these are the warnings from the Lord for us ahead of time so that we know how to walk as we go through.
I think it's important to remember God is God and I am not. And like Rose said, when we see the different stages and phases of one's walk with the Lord, when we think they should be elsewhere, it's, you know, getting our hands off. And
can you turn someone over to Jesus? I mean, ultimately, that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
Lord, they're yours.
And we've all had to go through things that, like you said, other people have perhaps spoken into our lives, and we did not have an ear to hear because we needed to walk that path.
Mm-hmm.
Have the life lesson to then comfort others with the comfort we've been comforted with.
Right, and that's it all folds back, yep. But I just think it's a good warning that the Lord always gives us. And... But that was all I have for today. Actually, not counting them as an enemy is important. But it's funny. How are we to treat an enemy? You get to have fun and heat coals. Right? Heat coals on their head, on your head, on them. Yeah. Romans.
Yeah, it makes that person ashamed.
Yeah, if you're living in such a way that their actions become shameful to them.
Mm-hmm.
Not to make them shameful, it's just because it's who you are. And then that will do that work.
And you talked about it last week, the whole overarching thing you were saying last week was love.
Right.
Perfect love. Show them love. That's what we're supposed to do. And that keeps hold on a person who is not showing love, who can't receive love. So you're an example. And those are the holes.
Right. Yep.
You're just doing what...
Yeah, so...
Treating them as an enemy.
In Romans 12, it says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves. But rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So the way the Lord wants you to deal with enemies is to let the Lord deal with them. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And that's a good thing. So back then, when somebody's fire was out, somebody would carry in a pot of coals, so it would kind of, to them, to help them start a fire, especially during the Sabbath, because you weren't allowed to start and do all these things. And it's kind of funny, it was okay to help someone with coals on the Sabbath, but no, you couldn't start the fire. Whatever. But ultimately it says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And so if we're to treat an enemy like that, how are you supposed to treat your brother? And so I just think those are, I don't have the answers. I'm just saying, if your enemy you treat so well, how would you treat an unruly brother? I think it's something to think about. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, that you even tell us beforehand. You prepare us beforehand, Lord, so that as we're walking, we can just see how you've been moving. Lord, we do ask that we would learn to help to trust you. Well, we have to trust you for our own salvation, for all things. Help us to remember that for our neighbor and each other. Lord, help us to walk in patience and trust you to be God. And just thank you that you are. In Jesus' name, amen.